Morning to each one. Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. Victory in Jesus, we just sang. Is that your experience? You know, we all heard that old story, right? But you know, the thing about it is, that story is alive. That story is still true today. And it still does something for us today. Brings us that, if we surrender to that story, brings us that victory in Jesus. And I hope that's been our experience. And I hope we are enjoying that today. Because the fact is that I think every one of us here would say we'd like to get the glory. I'm sure we would all say that. But are we on the way? Are we on the way there? We're on the way to eternity. Okay? Everybody hear that? We are on the way to eternity. But are we on the way to glory? The choice is yours. The choice is mine this morning. There's victory in Jesus. If you're not on that way, we can be because of that story about Jesus and what he has done for us. And it's more than just a story. It was a true happening. And it is alive for us today. What a blessing. What a blessing. Still trying to collect my thoughts together because coming here this morning, nice long drive, my mind wandered to different things, listening to a song that was sung as we were coming, and sitting here and a number of things that were talked about that we could talk about some more. But there's a subject that Brother Anthony already talked about, and we want to continue the thoughts that he was sharing about, thinking about God's mercy. It's not the title, but it all fits together. I thought he was going the same path I was pretty much, but that's okay. And there again, it's the Spirit of God moving. I did not communicate with him this morning about that. And the Spirit of God moving. And so here we are this morning. We want to talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness. You know, something happened, right? We have experiences in life. Something happened to us. Maybe it was an unkind word that was said to us. Maybe somebody made fun of us. And that doesn't feel good. I testify to it. It doesn't feel good. None of these things do. Maybe we're evil spoken of. Okay? Maybe we were simply misunderstood in whatever comments, actions. Maybe somebody simply stole from us. Maybe somebody was just mean to us. You know, none of these things are fun. And you know, something happened, and so somebody's going to have to make this right. Somebody's going to have to pay for the damages of this. Because we've something happened to us. This is kind of a human way of thinking, but you know, this is what we think. It is so easy, one of the first things that we think. Somebody may suggest forgiveness to us. Forgiveness. No, never. He did it, and he's going to pay for this. Somehow this got to be cleared up. This got to be settled, and he's got to take care of this. And besides, you know, we say that some have the understanding of forgiveness that if I forgive him, then I'm going to tell, then that means I'm communicating with him or her that it didn't matter what you did. That's not what true forgiveness is. Some have the understanding that if we forgive, that means that, well, you just forget it. It was nothing. I was talking to a man some years ago, and we were talking about this very subject, and he says, look, if I lay this down and forgive them, that's pretty much just telling them that they didn't do me any wrong. I said, no, that's not what forgiveness is. What we tend to think is that I'm going to hold this person hostage in my thoughts, my attitudes, So he's going to make this thing right. What we forget is that who's actually in bondage? Or we're going to say, take it a step farther, and a step better, we say. And so what we're actually going to do is we're going to forgive those people, but we're just not going to have anything to do with them anymore. Is this forgiveness? Is this forgiveness? You know, the list of things that I had, and you could add to that if you choose to, but those things happen in life. Those things happen to you and I. How should we respond, or how should we handle this if these things happen to us? Not if, but when they happen to us. Like I said, none of those things are exciting. None of those things feel good. I've experienced some of those things myself, and I'd rather just not experience them anymore. But you know, we do. So how do we respond to these things? Well, to start off with, let's look at a perfect example, right? We're going to look at the example of Jesus. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we're going to look at some verses, not only in this passage, but anyway, just a few verses quickly on how Jesus was treated. Now, Jesus was a perfect man. He had no reason at all to be mistreated. None. You know, but not so with you and I sometimes, because I've mistreated people, okay? I've probably said mean things to people. I've unkind things, and later, you know, I shouldn't have said that. You know, we do those things, and sometimes we kind of get a dose of our own medicine. But not so with Jesus, but how is he treated? John chapter 8, there's many things we could read, but John chapter 8 and verse 48, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Now that is an extremely, extremely unkind thing to say. That's a horrible thing to say to the Almighty God, Jesus here. Verse 59. After this long discussions, you know, he had there with the Jews in verse 50, verse 59. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. That's how he was treated. After he was presenting the truth to them, they picked up stones and cast at him. Now, I don't think, I at least never heard of any of you being stoned with stones, but you know, sometimes we're stoned with stones of words that feel harsh and that feel hard and that are thrown in our faces. Doesn't feel good after you've presented the truth and you see a fist within inches of your face. That doesn't feel good. I know that. They picked up stones, but he disappeared from their sight. Matthew chapter 26. These are familiar verses to us, but let's look at them. Matthew chapter 26. Here he was just have been betrayed by one of his previous followers. Matthew 26 and verse 56. And so Jesus presented the truth against to him, and he questioned them. Matthew 26, verse 56, it says, Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. That's how Jesus was treated. Here he was facing a hard thing in life, and he was deserted by his closest friends on earth. Did that feel good? I'm sure it didn't. Chapter 27, verse 28. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. They bowed a knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him. And they took the reed and smote him on the head. What had they just put on his head? A crown of thorns. Now they smote him on the head, and after they had mocked him, they took the robe from him and put on his own raiment and led him away to crucify him. That's how Jesus was mistreated. Seriously mistreated. By his own people. By people that should have appreciated him. By people that he had great love for. Turn to Luke chapter 23. Could have read some more verses there out of Matthew, but Luke 23, I like the words that the writer says here in that same scenario. Luke chapter 23, in verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to a place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and on the other on the left. Crucified, numbered with the transgressors, Isaiah says. He's going to be numbered with the transgressors. This is how he was treated. What was his response? What was his response to this? Then said Jesus, right, after he's hanging there on the cross. He's hanging there on the cross with blood running down his face and his hands and his feet. He's hanging there on the cross, and he looks down and he sees these people that have mistreated him, that have nailed him to the cross, that have abused him so fiercely and have mocked him so terribly. He hangs there and he looks down on him. He says, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He forgave them after all that mistreatment. And you know, the mercy of God comes in here, and the love of God is displayed tremendously. The very people that had just nailed Jesus to the cross and abused him and mocked him so terribly hard, they had just nailed him to the cross, and they stood there, and still people were mocking him. But he looked down and he says, Father, forgive them. But God, in his mercy and his great love that he had for those very people, for those murderers, that blood that what they had just shed, so to speak, had caused to be shed, was sufficient to take their sins away. And if those men would have fallen on their knees and repented at the moment, God would have forgiven them. And I hope they did someday. God would forgive them. But after all that, and he would have still willingly forgave them. That's the mercy of God, not giving them what they deserve. They deserve worse than hanging on a cross, but God would have forgiven them. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. That was Jesus' response to his mistreatment and his abuse that he experienced. And we could talk on and on about that. Turn to Matthew chapter 18, another parable beyond the one that we already read this morning. Another example of God's mercy, his grace to us, and his forgiveness. Forgiveness is his grace, is giving us something that we don't deserve. And the only reason God does it is because of his love for us. For God so loved the world that whosoever. And you know what, friends, this morning, let me remind us that you and I are part of the whosoever. Can be part of that whosoever. Matthew 18, verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one of them was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. Now, today, roughly $8 to $10 billion. Numbers I don't understand. I suspicious that y'all don't either. Okay? $8 to $10 billion. Verse 25, and for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Here was a debt that this man had that he could never pay. Impossible to pay. Now, I wonder how he racked up such a bill. But anyway, it's a parable. Let's remember that, okay? It's a parable. Jesus is making the point that this man here, this servant, had a debt that he could never, ever pay. And something needed to happen. Okay? Here he had he had a debt to his master that he could never pay. And the master says, look, we need to do something about this. This needs to be cleared. And so let's say, okay, we're going to sell him and his wife and his children, and payment's going to be made. And, you know, still wouldn't have come up with $10 million. $10 billion, I don't believe. I'm sure it wouldn't have. Jesus is seriously making a point here. You know, just like I was saying at the beginning, something happens to us and something needs to happen. Something needs to be made right. And so this man here, he said he could sell everything and it was still not enough. It still would not have paid his debt. My friends, this morning, you and I have a debt, had a debt before God the Almighty that you and I could never pay. You and I could never pay. And all of a sudden we see this. We come to that fact where we're reminded of this and we're standing before God, so to speak, or kneeling on our face before God. And we all of a sudden realize the vastness of our problem, our debt that we have before God, the sin, and any sin, whether it's a small thing or it's a big thing, it separates us from God. And it's a debt that you and I can never pay. Here he commanded all to be sold and payment to be made. But you know, you and I could never pay this debt to God either. We could spend 1,000 years in hell, my friends, would not pay the debt that you and I have or had with God. Would have never paid that. Verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Wonder how he would have done that. If he hadn't done it up to this point, how was he planning to do it if the master just had more patience? But he fell down and he pled for mercy. He pled for grace. He pled for mercy. He pled for mercy. This is all of a sudden he realized where he was at. He saw himself the way his master saw him. He saw it all of a sudden, the enormity of this whole thing. And he says, Master, just have mercy on me and somehow we're going to pay for this thing. Just somehow have mercy on me. Verse 27, and the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and gave him more time. No. He loosed him and forgave him the debt. Forgave him the debt. Loosed him and forgave him the debt. Verse 26. I would call that repentance for you and I today. When we come to the fact and we realize, it's not only if we only realize, but God in his mercy shows it to us. If we really want to make things right, if we really want peace with God, if we really care about where we're going to spend eternity, God's going to show it to us, the enormity of our debt before him, and he's going to give us that grace, he's going to give us that mercy that you and I don't deserve. He's going to do it. But we need to do the same thing here. We need to cry out for mercy. Because God is not just going to hand it to us when we continue living in sin and don't care about life. He's not going to do that. We need to find ourselves in the same place and get down on our knees and say, God, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. And what can I do? What can I do? But you know what God's going to do? If we cry out and we really mean business with God, He's going to forgive us. Forgive us of that debt that you and I could never pay. We could spend all eternity in hell, wouldn't have paid for it if it would have been an option. God might have planned that, but He didn't. He had a whole lot better. But you know what? Let me remind us of something. You and I, you know, we had a debt with before God, and somebody needed to make it right. And let me tell you something. Let me give you the joyful news that God, that Jesus paid that debt. He did make it right if you're going to accept it for Him. Somebody's going to pay, we say, right? And Jesus did that on Calvary for you and I. For you and I. Now, I hope God has done this for you. The plan is there. He can do it. I hope He has done it for you. But let me tell you something this morning. If you find yourself still with that debt load hanging on you, that guilt and that shame and that guilt on you, and not that clear conscience before God, God is still willing to do this for you this morning. God's still willing to do this, and I plead with you, eternity is coming. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Now, this is the way God has done for us. Oh, we can continue on talking about that, but this is what God has done for us. But we need to continue reading here. And the same servant that was just forgiven went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. 100 pence. $250. 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that thou owest." And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." He's using about the same words that this other man did just moments before. Now, he didn't treat him like his master did. Him, this servant that went out, his master didn't do that. He just brought him before him and questioned him about this. But this man had a totally different attitude, and he says, "You're going to pay me." Took him by the throat. And he would not, but went out and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now, how did he expect that to be done? But you know what? You and I are foolish, as foolish as this sometimes. When somebody has wronged us, and all of a sudden we realize what has happened, and we realize that this person has wronged me, we don't literally take him by the throat, but we would sure like to sometimes, wouldn't we? And just explain this to this person and say, "You're going to pay for this." But you know what we're doing? We're actually asking something totally impossible. God doesn't do that for us. But we do, because we want this thing paid for and to the point where it is as if it had never happened. We want this person to make this right as if he would have never done that to me, so that we can forget about this whole thing and act as if back to what it ever was before it happened. But you know what? That's something totally impossible. Okay? Once those words, once that meanness, once that attitude, once that cruelness is out and has been done, it can never be erased. It can never be erased to where it has... It never shows up on the record, so to speak. So to speak, sort of. Okay? And so he was casting this fellow servant into prison. Verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, and said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had on thee?" Now let's ponder here for a moment at his wording. How serious is it when we have been forgiven of God of the transgressions that we have done to him and the debt that we can never pay. And he has forgiven us of that and cleared us that debt. We're now a forgiven servant, aren't we? We are forgiven servant is what he says here. He was a forgiven man, but he went out and he grabbed a hold of somebody else and accused him and did not forgive him that little $250 that he owed him. He didn't forgive that unkind word that was said. He didn't forgive him that misunderstanding that was said toward him, and that cruel thing that was said toward him, and that injustice that we feel. Imagine or whatever it may have been, we're not going to forgive that. This man went from a forgiven servant to a wicked servant. How serious is it, my friends, this morning if we do the same thing? We're going from a forgiven servant to a wicked servant. He says here, oh, thou wicked servant. No, God had just forgiven him. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant as I had pity on thee? Shouldn't we do the same thing? Shouldn't we do the same thing? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now think about that for a moment. We had said before that he had a debt that could never be paid. That can never be paid. And here, that whole $10 billion came back full force to him again. He was responsible for that because he had not forgiven his fellow servant. Now that whole thing came up again. God had forgiven him. He had thrown it in the depths of the sea for a time. And he says, so let's just leave it right there. But no, all of a sudden here's a wicked servant again because he did not forgive those that had transgressed against him. And the whole thing came out to him again, and he was responsible for it. There's a number of other scriptures, or some other scriptures we can talk to that would confirm that thought. Matter of fact, Isaiah talks clearly about that. Very thought here. Notice in verse 35. So likewise. Now this is you and I, my friends, this morning. So likewise. Shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, unto me, if we from our hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses? Your brother or sister can never pay for the damages that they have done to you. You can pay for them. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, you can pay for the damages that were done to you. You can do the same thing that Jesus did here, that God does for you. You can forgive them. You can forgive those little things in comparison to the sin that had separated from God. You and I can forgive those things. You and I hold the key through the blood of Christ to pay for those damages that were done to you. You can do it through the blood of Jesus Christ. But you know what? If we're going to hold that person bondage in prison till he makes it right, he can never do it, but you can. You can forgive it. You can wash that away by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that can be done. But he says, if we don't, from our hearts, forgive every man, every one, his brother, their trespasses. Our Father is going to do the same thing to us. And so what's he going to do to us? He's going to deliver us to the tormentors. Till we can pay the debt that we could never pay. And friends, this morning, ponder that for a moment. That is a serious, serious thought. Who are the tormentors that we are going to be delivered to? I said we could spend 1,000 years in hell. It's not going to pay for it. And so it's a debt that we could never pay. That's where we're going to end up. And we'll never pay for it. We're going to spend eternity there. Friends, this morning, that's how serious it is if we do not forgive from our hearts. See, forgiveness is a spiritual and a physical issue. But it's primarily an emotional issue, actually. It's a spiritual thing because you and I have been taught that we need to forgive, okay? From little on up, I trust we've been taught that we need to forgive, you know, our sibling for what they did to us, right? And so as time goes on, we know that. We know what the Bible says about it. And so we say, yes, I've forgiven that person. Because I know the Bible tells me to, so I need to, okay? And so therefore, if somebody asks us about it, we can say, I've forgiven that person. But somehow, you know, this thing isn't healing. The relationship isn't healing. The whole situation isn't healing. Let me suggest to you this morning, the reason it's not healing is because we're still waiting for them to pay for the damages. And so we're going to keep them in prison till they do. And like I said before, we're actually asking for something impossible because they can never reverse it to the point that anybody can say, well, you know what, it never happened. Like I said, it's a spiritual thing. It's a physical thing to where we might go up to the person and say that we, you know what, we forgive you for it. But now what about the emotional part of it? The emotional part of it. Forgiving from the heart, it says here in verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every man his trespasses. What does it mean to forgive from the heart? Forgiving from the heart means that we're going to let go of that which our emotions hold on to. Okay? That which our emotions hold on to. Because this is how it often works with us. So it depends what happens. Okay? So we say we've forgiven. But our emotions are still holding on to it a little too much, or anything is too much. And so depends what happens. It kind of works on our emotions again, okay? We might meet the person or something was said that reminded us of it or whatever it is. So it works on our emotions again. And some of that we can't help, but what are we doing about it when it happens? So the subject keeps coming up. You know, the experiences that we had, you know, and that person over there. And so the easiest thing is, okay, just avoid those people that have done this wrong to us. Okay, that's what we tend to do. We avoid them. Now, let's go back to Jesus' example as we think about avoiding people. And it's kind of our tendency. It's kind of an easy thing to do. We kind of, you know, want that because it hurts. It hurts too much. We're just not ready. It just hurts too much yet. So our emotions are very much involved. If something is hurting, our emotions are involved. What did Jesus do? After all that they had done, he was hanging on the cross. He looked down to them and he says, Father, forgive them. He didn't avoid them. He says, Father, forgive them. And so, after avoiding, you know, and the opportunity arises, you know, we, and the subject is talked about, these people are talked about, and we have this opportunity to darken their name just a little bit. Not to them, of course not. After all, we are avoiding them, but we darken their name just a little bit somewhere. We just kind of throw in just a little bit of something. Forgiving from our hearts, as I said, is letting go of that which our emotions hold on to. You know, forgiving from our hearts doesn't mean that we say it never happened. Because that's not what forgiveness is. But what it really means is that we don't hold it against them anymore. It's forgiven. It's paid for. Those damages are paid for. Okay? It's cleared up. It's cleared up. That's forgiving from our hearts. Now, there is also the thing that happens when there's thing that situation like this, and we say, look, it's all forgiven. These people have forgiven us. We've repented of it. It's been forgiven. It's cleared. And too often, let me just throw this in there. Too often, or sometimes what happens is the people that have been forgiven now, and this situation is cleared, and the relationship it's been cleared. Then the people that have been forgiven, they say, okay, now you need to trust me with everything again. You need to trust me just the way as if this had never happened. Let me tell you something. Trust is that something that gets earned, okay? Trust gets earned. It does never get demanded. It does sometimes get demanded, but that's not the way you get trust. As a matter of fact, it raises some signals in my mind yet if somebody is demanding trust. No, trust is something that's going to be earned, okay? And it takes time to rebuild that. That doesn't mean it's not forgiven, but let's let us that have been forgiven prove to the others, not just by our lives and examples, okay? Now, let's look at example of Joseph. Turn to Genesis chapter 50. I could tell you the story, but there's some beautiful words here that Joseph used. Now, we know the story well of Joseph, okay, and how he had been tremendously wronged by his brothers and abused by them and sold us into Egypt and or at least ended up there and all the horrible things that had happened that they had done to him. And so here now, Joseph's father is dead. Jacob is dead. And Genesis 50 and verse 15. Then when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us of all the evil which we had done unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive thee, I pray now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did evil, they did unto thee evil. Now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Then Joseph and his brethren also went and fell down before his face and said unto him, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. We be thy servants. So Joseph's brothers had a dilemma. They said, look, our father's dead. And now Joseph is going to get us full force for what we did for him. This is terrible. But we remember that our father says, you plead for forgiveness. You come to him, you humble yourself before Joseph and ask him to forgive you of the evil that you have done to him. And ask him to forgive you of that. And so they were scared to go in there by themselves. So they sent servants ahead and said, look, you just ask Joseph about this. And they didn't tell us that here, but probably you bring us word back to see what he says. Then his brethren also went and fell down before his face. You know, it could be that they didn't wait for those messengers to come back either. I think they were just eager to see what Joseph had to say. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. Had Joseph forgotten what his brothers had done? Is that what forgiveness does? It just erases it to where we can't even remember it? No, oftentimes it doesn't. Joseph well remembered what his brothers did. He says, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Joseph is telling his people, I remember what happened. I know it happened. That's true, it did. But you know what? I'll leave that in God's hands, and I choose not to remember. That's forgiveness. I choose not to remember. I'm not in the place of God. And why does he say that? He says, vengeance belongs unto me. I will repay, saith the Lord. I'm going to take care of that. I'm not in the place of God to punish you brothers for what you did for me. I'm not in the place of that. I'm willing to forgive you for that. I know you did me wrong, but you know what? God actually turned this out for good. And he chose to bless them. Now notice in verse 21. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. You know what? A beautiful response to somebody that forgave his brothers. He turned around and blessed them. For in spite of that, what they had done for him. He turned around and says, I understand what you did, you know, but I'm going to leave that in God's hand. He comforted them and spake kindly unto them, and I will nourish you. What a response for that. Okay, we can go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay, it talks about the same thing there. It talks about adding to our faith and all these things that are very important for good brotherhood relationships. You know, brotherly kindness, charity, temperance, patience, and all those kind of things. And he says there, I need to read one verse there, two verses. 2 Peter 1. Verse 8. For if these things be in you, all these things that are listed here before that are in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I tell you what, brothers and sisters and friends, this morning, if you have forgiven from your hearts, it's going to restore that brother relationship in a way that is going to grow in these things. And we're going to remember, yes, I need to forgive this person because I remember the great debt that God forgave me. I remember what he had done for me, a debt that you and I could never pay. He's done that for me, and therefore it's going to do it. I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to forgive you of those things. And the brother relationships here are going to grow. They're going to flourish. We're going to grow in these things. We're not going to be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the fruits of forgiveness. And that's exactly what Joseph did back there. He said, I'm going to nourish you, brothers. You did me wrong, I understand, but we're going to leave that in the past. I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to bless you in various ways. Friends, this morning, what a beautiful response. To forgiving somebody. When we forgive somebody. What's it doing? Where are we at? Where are we at in all this? We need to remember the great debt that God has forgiven us. You know, it's not covered either, okay? Jesus paid for the damages. I've been saying all different times, you know, somebody, we have this thought that these damages need to be paid for. Jesus did that. He paid for the damages for a debt that you and I could never pay. We're grateful for that this morning. And so as we face life, these things happening to us, we face brotherhood relationships, interpersonal relationships, like I said, within the brotherhood, within the family, within wherever it is. Let's remember what God's willing to do for us. And I trust he's done for you. And if he hasn't, let me again remind you that he can do it. And it's so important that we remember and do something about it because eternity is coming. And so let's turn the situation over in God's hands like Joseph did. And choose not to remember, and it's going to start to heal. It's going to start to heal. The emotions, the feelings, which are shaky. But the facts, the brotherhood relationships, those restored relationships, when we turn it over, it can start to heal when we forgive from the heart and turn it over to God's hands. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Let's kneel for prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning we bow before you. We're grateful for Jesus, willing to pay the damages of my sins and our sins for each one here this morning. The damages, the sin that we can never pay, and that we can spend, we'd have to spend eternity in hell and never pay for these. But Jesus is willing to pay for them. He was willing to take up that price of death and something we could have never done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus, that we can be forgiven. And Father, that's a lot easier for us to think about than relating to each other. And oh God, have mercy on us. And I just pray for strength, for grace. Lord, I don't know the hearts of these people. I don't know, barely know my own, Father. And I don't know what we're all facing this morning, but you do, Father. So help us, Lord. Help us. And if we don't face it now, we're probably going to face it in life somewhere. But Father, help us to remember what you've done for us, what you are offering us, and what we can do for others. So help us, Lord, and give us that grace. And if there's somebody here that is not living under that forgiveness of Jesus Christ, that they would find it, Father, and find that rest, because eternity is coming and we want to be prepared, oh God. So help us. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for direction. Again, we thank you for Jesus and his blood and his forgiveness that is available to each one of us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.